Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Today, Pastor Eric Orme will be preaching a message entitled, Broken to be Blessed. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message from this ministry, please contact the church office at area code 506-755-3759. Now, here's Pastor Eric Orme with today's message.
Generally, on the first of January in all the years we've been in ministry, we've called a 21-day fast. This week, I kind of got tweaked to kind of do something a little different. Something I never considered before was, you know, when we read the account of Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost and how they were instructed to go and wait in the upper room until the coming of Holy Spirit, and we know that they were there for 10 days. I've never considered that they were fasting. They would have been fasting. There's no account of them having, you know, served food for those. Have you ever thought about that? 10 days they were there, and there's no, and yet the scripture is so full of incidents of breaking of bread, breaking of bread. And so I just feel a little of the Lord that this year we would, and I'm asking the Lord for what time, what 10 days in January. I don't have that yet, but I believe we ought to come to church for 10 days in January. In other words, let's gather for 10 consecutive evenings and seek the Lord. As opposed to the 21-day fast, we can still fast and come together for 10 days, 10 consecutive nights in January. That's a stretch, isn't it? Don't blame me. Talk to the Lord about it. I got to give you what I believe He's given me. That we come together because you know why? We need a fresh Pentecost. We need a fresh touch of Holy Spirit. We need another Pentecost. That word you may find jarring. The church was born. Every church was born that day. We need a rebirthing, a refreshing of the Pentecostal experience, life from above, in Jesus' name. And I believe God is saying, you come and you spend 10 consecutive days together fasting and praying, and I'm going to pour my Spirit upon you in a way that takes you to another level. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed to be broken. I'm going to just give you a whole list of scriptures, and it's going to be too fast for you to get on the screen, I would think. But I want you to pay attention to a couple words in each one of the scriptures that keep reoccurring where our focus, and this is where our focus is going to be today. Acts 20:11. And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. It's significant that they would record that by Holy Spirit, the author would record that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's a significant piece of information for us to have, isn't it? Well, we need to know that. But what about the fact that you'll see repetitively in the scriptures as we go through them that there's this mention of this breaking of bread and prayers. Like, was it that important that that piece of information would always be preserved and always recorded in every translation? And since the time this was it happened, it was recorded right up there alongside the fact that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's wonderful, but what have breaking bread to do with it? 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. It was a big night. So what's so important about breaking the bread? The same night in which he was betrayed. There could have been so much said, and here is the Son of God. God who loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die that we might have life. And while they're recording that, here's this piece of information going right alongside. That night, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Acts 27. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. There could have been so much recorded about that long speech. But don't leave out the part where they broke bread. Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. They were already eating. Notice that? And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. They were already eating. You see, we think that it's, well, you got to say grace before you start eating. That's true, and that's important. That's wonderful, and always good opportune time to recognize God's blessing. But in this particular case here, the Bible says as they were eating, they had started already, Jesus took bread and he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, says, take, eat, this is my body. It wasn't to bless it before starting to eat. Acts 2:46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 20:11. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. A lot of things could have been said recorded about the long sermon that night. But they never left out the breaking of the bread. What we're seeing here is a truth. There's a nugget of truth that I believe the Lord would want us to look at today. There has to be more to be understood about the breaking of bread that we have not yet considered. The breaking of bread. We take it lightly. We take it for the surface meaning. Well, he just broke bread. But the repetitiveness with which it got recorded and the experience and there's truth here that the Lord wants us to see today. Luke 24:30-35 says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. What we see emerging here, these two gentlemen that were on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was crucified, they didn't recognize him. He walked with them. They didn't recognize him. They said, come and eat with us. Come stay for the night. And Jesus said, well, yeah, okay. They sat together, and the Bible says, when he broke the bread, they recognized him. See that? So there has to be more than just saying grace before you eat. This breaking the bread in such a unique fashion that even though they didn't recognize Jesus, but when he broke the bread, that's him. What did he do? How did he do it? Why did he do it? I'm glad you asked. Because it was significant enough that it's recorded right alongside with the most major events recorded in the scripture. They broke the bread, blessed it, and broke it. Matthew 26, again, it says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it. After blessing it, broke it." Blessed to be broken. A lot of people experience brokenness in recent days. When Jesus said, "Except the corn of wheat falling to the ground and die, it abideth alone." We know that growth occurs from cells dividing. Blessed to be broken for more in 2014. Blessed to be broken, because out of the brokenness comes more. We'll see in a moment, out of the brokenness comes multiplication when God has got his hand in it, and he does. Everything is Father filtered. Then we see in John 6 and 7 a verse that totally impacted my life. It was in the summer fall of 2007. And I spent the day in prayer of whether or not to apply for a position in Gander where there are advertising, inviting applications for a pastor. And although Lynn and I made this commitment before the Lord that we would never knock on doors, we would never go trying to hope, you know, push our way and open up doors for ministry. If the Lord led us, then we would follow. This late in life starting, we weren't about to go out and try to build a career. We were just going to love on God, seek his face, and knowing the call of God was on our lives, should we be asked, we would take that as being from the Lord, and we would follow where he leads. And so that being the case, yet there was this church who had invited us to come as a guest speaker several times, and here they were asking for applicants for a pastor. So I took the day and went down to Drover's Ridge and spent the day just seeking the Lord. And coming back, it was dark, actually, and driving along by Smart's Mill. None of you know where this is at. But driving along by Smart's Mill, I pray this prayer that all of us one time or other may have prayed. And I said, "Lord, would you show me specifically in your word? Can you just give me that relevant, specific word that applies to your heart for us at Gander in that church?" And so I remember my Bible was on my seat there to the right, and I just pulled it open and I put my finger on a verse, and it was dark. And I remember I had to pull over and turn on the light and look, and I was pointing at John 6 and 7. And Philip answered and said, "200 denarii," or we could say $200 worth of bread, "is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." Now this verse was significant because every time we went there as a guest speaker, they gave us $200. Every time we went, $200. And I thought this was so relevant, so specific. It was, how could I have chosen another verse that so applied? It just leaped at me. And I believe the Lord spoke to me that day and said, $200 worth of bread is not sufficient to feed them. And the following fall, a year later, we still never went knocking, but I knew in my heart that the Lord would have us spend time feeding, teaching His Word, which we did. And the following fall, they called us, says, "Would you please come? We want you to be our pastor." And we spent almost 4 years there. This week, the Lord reminded me of this story. And now I believe He's saying once again that there is food that you haven't tasted in My Word. And it is not cheap. There is food that you have not tasted yet. There's more. This story that's referenced in John, it's in the four Gospels. But it's a story of Jesus blessing and breaking bread. It's a story of the little boy's lunch. And 5,000 men had gathered. They came to hear Jesus. Now, most theologians will say that the reference to 5,000 men there is leaving out the women and the children. So there could have been, at a minimum, 15,000 people. These people came out hungry to hear what Jesus would have to say. Now, you know, may I remind you that there was no electronics at the time. There was no electronic media. There was no way to get the word out. And there was no even a bullhorn. There was nothing but 15,000 people hearing about Jesus became so hungry that they gathered together and they pressed in. And just the sheer volume of people would have meant that folk were a long ways off as Jesus taught. And they strained to hear every word. They would have pressed and they spent time, and there was no fancy, cushy, nice, warm chairs like you got there. They would have been outside and they were listening to Jesus, and they were hungry. And they stayed all day. His words were so life-giving and challenging. People coming to catch, just if I can, oh, I caught that. That was a good word. This is so different than anything we've ever heard. Later that day, Jesus, one of the disciples, Simon said, we got a problem. These people are hungry and we must send them away. A very, you know, challenging logistical thing to get done would be to arrange for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, it would have been difficult. There's 15,000 hungry people and there's no fast food around anywhere. And so, you know the story very well. The little boy's lunch. Little boy's lunch. And Jesus said, they do not need to depart. They don't need to go. What do you have? Jesus knew, but He asked them, what do you have? You know, miracles always begin with recognizing what you have. Recognizing what you have. I heard T.D. Jakes make some comments on that. And he said, if you do not recognize what you have, you will never multiply what you have not recognized. You get that? So we can be, like, if we only had that over there, if we only had, you know, if there was Boston Pizza with home delivery, I mean, or whatever. But no, what do you have? I know the need is great, but first of all, let's recognize where we are. Let's recognize what we've got. And if you recognize what you have, you can have it multiplied. What do you have? What was ironic was they didn't even count the women and the children, yet the ones they didn't even count was the ones who had the miracle too. They got the miracle too. The ones that weren't even counted. Isn't it amazing that God uses people that others don't count? What you have and what we have as a church, we're looking to receive, and we believe and we're declaring more in 2014. And we may not count what we have that will give us that increase. We may not recognize what God has given us. We may not even recognize the gifts and the provisions and how He's positioned us. He's brought us to a place to receive. He's positioned us all along the way in 2013. And now we're in this place where we need to really recognize what He's done and how He's blessed us, because there's things that is available to be blessed that we may not have counted. You may have been discounted, but you came to hear Jesus and He has a miracle for you. He has a miracle for you. God will always use things that we don't even think would qualify and what we wouldn't even count. And Jesus had to ask, "What do you have?" We have this little boy's lunch. Jesus took the 2 fish, the 5 loaves, and commanded the people to be seated in groups of 50. He blessed it, broke it, and took some time to sit them in groups of 50. Can you imagine how much time that would have taken? 15,000 people, okay, 50, 50, 50. I remember, I can see a lot of people like John Wall organizing that, right? John, can you get these people together? Oh, yeah. I mean, it must have took a lot of time. But it was a requirement of Jesus that they all sit in groups of 50. 50, 50, until you got to 15,000. It took time. But you know what? The best miracles in life take time. We get anxious. We want microwave miracles. We want it done now. We're a generation that we can't wait. We don't have patience for anything. Yet we got more automation than we've ever known on planet Earth. Just a press of the button and it's gone. And we need more gigabytes because we can't get, it's too slow. What do you mean? We had to wait 2 seconds for it to go through. How much is it going to cost me for some more gigabytes? Right? But the best miracles, they that wait upon the Lord. It takes time. Then Jesus took it and blessed it. Think about it. He is blessing something that is not enough. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 15,000. He's blessing something that's not enough. I can't do it. I don't think I got the talent. Our church, we can't. Well, He blesses. That's what He blesses. That's not enough. I can't. You qualify. Well, we haven't got good. Because He blesses what's not enough. Until we can be thankful for something that is not enough, then what you have cannot be multiplied into something that is more than enough. Because when he blessed them, when they distributed the food to the 15,000, do you know what? There was 12 baskets full left over. More than enough. I want to say that again. Until we can be thankful for something that is not enough, thankful for what is not enough, then what you have cannot be multiplied into something that is more than enough. Isn't that cool? But if you say, "Lord, I know this is not the job I wanted. Lord, I know this is not the house I wanted. Lord, I know this is not the marriage I expected." Oops. "Lord, I know this child is not living up to my expectations, but still I lift it up and I thank you for it. I bless it, Lord." So out of the blessing, that brokenness can be multiplied into more than enough. Bless to be broken enough to get it. I just don't get it. No. This is my stance. I take a haughty position. You can have a haughty look, like a proud stance of, I know what I, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the cost of my alabaster box. But when God blesses something, He blesses it to be broken so that what we receive, now the source of the blessing really can become God, because now the increase comes. The lunch that was only enough for one could feed 15,000 after He blessed it and broke it. You'll never get the multiplication as long as you are ungrateful. But when you become thankful for what He has done rather than waiting on what He is going to do, being thankful for what He's done. And He took it, and He blessed it. And when He took it, and He blessed it, we know that there was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We know that's all there was, right? We know Scripture says He took the lunch, and He blessed it, and we know what it was. We have a correct inventory. We are certain He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes when He blessed it. And as He broke it, that's where we lose count. As He broke it, we know up to this point in time there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But as He broke it, we lose the count. We can't count it anymore. Because there's coming more than enough as He broke it. As He broke it, you understand that blessing is in the breaking. You get that? The blessing is in the breaking. I don't like it when I'm broken, but the blessing is in the breaking. It's not exciting to hear, but we live by faith, amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I want to please God. That which refuses to be broken refuses to be blessed. Now understand what blessing means. Understand that blessing is more than just materialism. Blessing goes beyond even your health. There's a peace and contentment in the midst of a storm. If anything else could do it, if the blessing that we oftentimes are most aggressive to receive, whatever, if that was blessing in God's language, if that was the ultimate interpretation of the blessing that God gives, you wouldn't have people who are multi-millionaires committing suicide. If fame could do it, you wouldn't have movie stars just committing suicide left and right. And if health could do it, great youthful young people are committing suicide all the time. If that was it, then no. There are people who are the poorest in the world who are the happiest in the world because the blessing of God. God's blessing. There's a relevance to all of this. There's a relevance that goes beyond time. Goes beyond stuff. Stuff God gives too, don't get me wrong. He blesses us, but let's not get the priority wrong here. Let's understand what it means to be blessed of God. It is the breaking of life that produces the blessing of life. A lot of people may not understand that because they've never been broken. Have you noticed in your life that the most blessed people that you have ever met in your life are people that have been broken because they have gone through something that have broken them. I've seen that, you've seen it. Do you know what? There's even a natural law would bear out that philosophy. You know, all of God's spiritual laws are parallel with his natural laws. Laws of gravity, I mean, it's overused, I know. You know, the rain falls on the good and the bad. I mean, there's natural laws that's totally in line with spiritual laws. You take nations like Japan. You take any nation in history that's gone through the greatest devastation. Out of that will come a people that's the sharpest, most aggressive, most intelligent. Brokenness seems to reset. That's why discipline is necessary. By nature, we're a stubborn and a stiff-necked people, aren't we? One of the biggest problems God had in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt was the stubborn and a stiff-necked people. By nature, we're like that. And as when God allows things to come in our lives and we're broken, we're now postured to see things that's better and it's more life-giving, and we're postured to receive a blessing that otherwise we may not. And we go on trudging along in our own self-sufficiency, which is not sufficient to receive the best. Have you ever been broken? The blessing is in the breaking, and the more he broke it, the more it multiplied. Every time he broke it, he broke the bread. Can you imagine Jesus breaking this bread? Did you think he just broke it and threw it on the ground and started going poof, 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 poof? Have you ever thought about it? There's 15,000 people. Jesus takes this loaf. I can imagine he's breaking it. He's giving it to the disciples. And as he broke it, it multiplied. I thank God for every time he allowed me to be broken. Can you think of times that you went through something? You came out the other end. You were stronger. Wow, I look back. Man, had I stayed in that posture, position, understanding, my worldview being that, always, still there, and I said, oh, wow, I see differently now. But I see it because I went through some stuff. I experienced some things, and now I can see more clearly. Wow, thank you, God. Something more beautiful comes out of it. Songwriter said, speaking of Job, he said, although God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall then come forth as gold, for I know that he still liveth, for I can feel him in my soul. How many know it's okay to feel him in your soul? It's good to feel him in your soul, isn't it? Job 19:21 says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. We shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him. Though the worms may destroy this body. That's my faith. That's my confession. That there may be, ultimately, there's going to be a brokenness of this mortal body, folks. I got news for you. Get used to it. But the good news, I shall be changed, and in my flesh I shall see God. That's the glorious hope, isn't it? That's what keeps us refocused when the chips are down, when the power's off, when I need a shower so bad. You know what I thought about when we, yesterday, We looked out, and on the lawn there was these deer, beautiful deer. It's like they got more fur, and they're fluffy. They're so clean looking, and they're dancing. I don't know what the wind shows. You know, let's say it was minus 30, dancing around, eating here and there. They're prancing. They and no place to go take a shower. There is no restaurants for them to go in. I mean, there is nobody cooking food for them. You arrive beyond the street for 4 or 5 days or a week, or you know, like if you're without water for a few days in your house, you know what you look like, right? I don't know what you look like, so I'm off the hook here. But I can imagine. And, oh man, I get this dirty again. Linda says, what's that on your shirt? But how he cares for these animals. I mean, isn't it such a phenomenon? I mean, it just blows the mind. How can these animals look clean like that? And the tail's up and it's white and they're prancing. There's no heat. They're in the cold. They're in the summer. They're adapted to every season and they look beautiful. But we got to be, turn up the heat a little more. I've got to get a shower. But God, he does it so well. He's so beautiful. All of his glory. Our son-in-law, Troy, he gets all stiff in his body, and he goes to the chiropractor every now and then. He's got to go get stuff snapped, nicked, snapped, his back cracked, and his ankles ripped out and pulled, and all this. It's painful. But when they break all those tense muscles and tendons, and it's painful what he's going through, when it comes out, it's, oh man, he's got to go because he played hockey a lot and he had a lot of injuries, and he seizes up, he gets going regularly, getting this broken stuff, and he gets free because he got to break those tense muscles. Have you ever been broken? The greatest blessings come in the hardest breakings. See, as long as we understand that, we don't have to be hopeless. He fed the multiplied and multiplied through the broken process, the breaking process. Jesus did not feed them directly. Get that? He breaks it. He's got the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He didn't feed the people. He breaks it, gives it to the disciples, and then the disciples feed the people. We have to learn how to eat God's blessings even if he brings it from somebody else's hand. It may come from somebody else's hand. You may say, I don't need fellowship and communion. I don't need fellowship and communion with anyone else but Jesus. I only need Jesus. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out, and I don't need you. Sounds sweet, but listen. You will starve to death. If you reject the body, the members, you reject him, the bread, and every attempt to love you by a member of his body is a piece of bread that we are commanded to eat in remembrance of him. Did you get that? If you reject the body, I'm not saying you can't have communion with Jesus alone, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying, if my stance and my posture in life, my ongoing posture is, I don't need communion. I don't recognize you as the body of Christ. I don't need to commune with you. I'm an island unto myself, and I've got Jesus, and so on. What I'm doing, I'm rejecting his body. For that, there's a consequence. You don't, if you don't love your brother who you've seen, okay, how can you love God who you've not seen? You're living in a false world. There's death occurs from that. So we see then in Luke 22:1, now the feast of unleavened bread, unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. Then they told, Luke 24:35, then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Mark 14:12, and on the first day of the unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where will you have us to go and prepare you for you this Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, you might be wondering the significance of this. But now, all through the scriptures, we see the significance of breaking the bread. The emphasis was the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And your fathers eat manna in the wilderness. And this was a precursor to Jesus being the bread. But there's something that happens all of a sudden just before Jesus' crucifixion. This bread that came down from heaven. All of a sudden, the bread is identified now as unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. There's a change. And so Jesus gives them specific instructions to go to a specific place, and it's all exactly like he said it would be, in this room that's prepared for the Passover, where they're going to celebrate it. How many know that there is a prepared place for a prepared people? There's a prepared place for a prepared people. Now it's when we enter the season of the unleavened bread. And this is amazing. There's an amazing emphasis or incredible significance of the bread and the way in which it was utilized as part of Jesus' teaching and miracles. We see the timing of God is critical, as well as location and substance. The general use of the bread, how he blessed it so meticulously that it identified him. The bread being a type of Jesus prior to Jesus becoming the Passover lamb is significant in that unleavened bread is now part of the ceremony. Now it's unleavened bread. Leaven, however you want to pronounce that, it represents sin. It represents sin. Now this bread which is broken becomes the perfected provision. This bread of heaven becomes the perfected provision, the bread that would never perish, and the bread of which Jesus spoke when he talked to the woman at the well. The type of bread that most accurately described Jesus then would have to be unleavened bread and would be used as the bread on the first day of the Passover. I believe right here we see another picture of God's call to the body of Christ on the earth to live a separated and sinless life. Unleavened bread. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You can eat bread, and here's where discernment comes in and separation comes in. But the bread that we're called to feast on is unleavened bread without sin. Last week, Boxing Day, whenever that was, time is so mixed up now, I was leaving the Cross Iron Mills Mall. And this mall is probably next to the largest, it is the second largest mall in Canada. West Edmonton Mall, I guess, is the biggest one. And as I was coming out there, I went in there for a few hours just to look around. And sometimes I pray when I do that. And that's what I was just walking through and just praying. And when I stepped in on the parking lot, this is what leaped into my spirit about how our culture has embraced a lifestyle of decadence and opulence, and in some ways has become a distraction and in other ways an idol, and how we could be bordering on idol worship without knowing it. Now, you know, I just felt prompted to tell you that, to say that. And I know that's not popular preaching and teaching, but I'm committed to fear God more than fear man. But I believe Holy Spirit would want us to check, you know, just be conscientious of that. You know, that mall being so big, do you know what? Like, one of their anchor tenants is Bass Pro. You know, they're huge. And it said such, but there wasn't a parking space. It's jam-packed. I've never seen so many people crammed in the same space. The corridors, everything was just full of people. Full of people. It was after Christmas. And there's good deals on, no doubt. But I don't think I'd be wrong to say that, you know, 90%, maybe more, didn't really need me there, just fighting for every parking lot and rushing after another something that's going to be in the yard sale next year or 2 years from now. Right? I mean, there's this insatiable appetite. We got to get there. You know, they got good deals. And the rush to get there and to buy more and to get more. And it's like, my God. There's such decadence and opulence. There's so much wealth and we can't get enough. And I wonder if we're not bordering. I got to say it again. If we're not bordering and if we get caught up in that vortex. It's fun, I know that. Listen, I'm talking to me too. We all like to shop, right? We like stuff. But this beginning of the year, I'm just wondering if Holy Spirit would want to check us and say, is there leaven in that bread? You can feast on that, but is there leaven in your bread? I want you to feast on me, says God. I want you to consume that which does not perish, that does not end up in a yard sale. That time and resources and money and passion and energy and preparation. The lady spent days wrapping gifts that they knew, you know, what they're going to get, and they saw it, oh, give me, and oh, we got our scotch tape. Got any more? Where's all that paper and wrap so nice? What's about that? I mean, it's nice. Beautiful. Thank you very much. But we're caught up in this frenzy. There's more paper on Christmas morning. Like, and a lot of it, they saw each other's gifts. And they wrapped them. Little Hannah was wrapping individual candies. Mert scotch tape poppy. I said, what are you doing that? Because I like unwrapping them. But are we just as guilty? What is that about? I could go on, but I'm going to stop it there. I believe Holy Spirit has made his mark, made the point that let's expect more of him. Let's stir ourselves up. Let's be ready, prepare our schedules, our minds, and our hearts for 10 days. 10 nights coming together in January. We'll ask the Lord when the timing is right. I believe we ought to do it. I don't know if anybody else is doing it. We don't have to do stuff that other people does. We don't want to do things for the sake of doing them. We want to be led by Holy Spirit, amen? We want to be led by the Lord. Try me and see, says God. Try me and see. We're going to see what God is going to say, what he's going to do. There's an exciting year ahead of us. Lord has got a lot planned. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. We're going to rise up in Jesus' name. We may be troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're not going to be distressed. Yes, there will be trouble. We may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. Amen? Not destroyed. As a soldier, yeah, we may take a bullet here and there. We may have to retreat to get to recover. But let me go. I'm going to the front line again in Jesus' name. I'm rising up with tenacity and commitment and passion, and I am an overcomer, and I can do all things through Christ because He strengthens me in Jesus' name. Yes. This is, you know what? Trouble is an opportunity to shine. It's only an opportunity to prove God and to show others that we believe God. I choose to do the right thing. I choose to rejoice. I choose to love you. I choose you. It's commanded on me. That means I can do it. Take that, devil. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. We're going to have, by the end of January, we want the youth center dedicated, officially open, and unofficially a grand opening with Matthew and Michelle with the youth. The ministry will be launched this month, and we can't let our guard down now. We're not letting our guard down now. Amen? In Jesus' name, we have to do some fundraising. We're asking people to give. We lost some time. We were out of church a lot. I'm just saying, Linda, I hope people bring their tithes back when they do come. When we go on holidays, do we have to bring a tithe back? Yes. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord is going to do a great and a marvelous work. He's begun a great work, and He's able to complete that which He has begun. Can I have an amen? Amen! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, when Moses went up into the mountain to receive from God, he came down and his face shone with the glory. He's coming back to the people to give the word of the Lord, and his face was shining with the glory of God. But you know, while he was away, the people rose up. The Bible says they rose up to play. They prepared this golden calf. They began to worship. And they began to dance and to sing and have sexual orgies. The Bible says they rose up to play. I tell you what. I want to be positioned to receive the glory when it's coming my way. Amen? I want to be positioned to receive the glory when it's coming my way. And the glory of the Lord is coming my way. And my rising up to play is going to be in the kingdom of God and not being distorted by bread that's been tainted with leaven. Amen? In Jesus' name, there is a difference.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George, New Brunswick, E5C2G8, or call us at area code 506-755-3759. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.ca. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of Pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.